Eric Boland, Newsday. Nice enough to join us from Chicago and especially so fresh after the game, just doing his interviews. We do appreciate it. Eric, how are you?
I'm doing great, Chris. How are you today?
Thanks. Thanks for coming on. And happy Father's Day to everybody. Tell us a little bit about Clint Frazier and that emotional goodbye today.
Yeah, you know, he was probably the only one surprised by the move. There is, it's a matter of a numbers crunch. You're bringing in the AL home run leader, and Frazier has options, and he's kind of been a one-dimensional player since he's been up. Obviously has shown the potential with a pretty significant big league bat, but he's become a liability in the field, and he'll have an opportunity to go down to Scranton and work on that and play every day and be in the field, and the mistakes that he might make out there will probably be a little bit less glaring and less scrutinized, and he'll probably be able to handle that a little bit better than he has up here. Obviously, the bat can play. It's a reason why opposing team scouts have asked about him in the past and continue to ask about him. His trade value has gone down somewhat because of the fielding issues that he has had. But again, you've got Encarnacion, who is 401 career home runs, including 21 to lead the American League at this point this season. And then with Stanton coming back on Tuesday, you know, if Frazier didn't go for Encarnacion, he certainly would have gone when Stanton was activated on Tuesday. So, you know, Frazier afterwards said he was surprised, but, you know, like I said, he was probably the only one.
And how universal is the thought, Eric, that this means it's just one domino, that they really didn't need Edwin Encarnacion, and that because they went and got him, it means that they have other plans and they need him because later down the road in 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks until we get to July 31st, more deals are coming. How common is that thought among the press, and do you think in general?
Well, I mean, I think just in general, the main, this team didn't need a right-handed bat. They got better. You know, they added a professional hitter who's been a stud hitter for a number of years, and Yankee fans are very familiar with how much damage Encarnacion can do because he's done a lot of it against the Yankees over the years, particularly at Yankee Stadium. So, you know, the Yankees got better. They didn't get better with where they really need to get better, which was the pitching staff, but those type of deals generally don't get made 6 weeks before the trade deadline. So I was a little bit surprised at the reaction to the move yesterday with Encarnacion, as if the trade deadline was June 15th. It's not. It's July 31st. So, you know, it'll be the first to step forward and rip the Yankees if they're not able to, you know, add a pitcher or two before the deadline. But those dominoes really just, no matter how badly fans want them to fall right now, other teams usually are not going to be in a hurry to make those kind of deals, particularly when you're talking about a very good starting pitcher, which again is what the Yankees are in the market for and would like to add. But 5, 6 weeks before the deadline, those players just typically aren't available.
And as you look at it, what percentage chance would you give Brian Cashman of adding a pitcher that he's confident in, whether he performs or not, we're not going to know until he gets here. But what would you give a percentage as to your thought about him making a deal for a pitcher he believes in?
I mean, I think that, I mean, I don't know how to put a percentage on it, but I mean, I think the chances are pretty good that they're going to make some kind of a move in that direction. I mean, it's a glaring need. It's an obvious need. It's one the Yankees certainly are aware of. All you need to do is watch the team on a regular basis to see that they're not today being an exception, because Paxton was pretty good and gave him 6 innings, but getting consistent length out of this rotation has been a problem, and it's taxed the bullpen, you know, which, you know, you've seen, you know, here and there, some slip-ups from some of their stud relievers, and I think you could reasonably say that it's because maybe they've relied a little too heavy early on in the season on guys like Chapman and Ottavino and a couple of other guys out there. Britton certainly up there. I mean, they have 3 guys that I think were on pace for 70-plus appearances. Throw Tommy Canley in that mix as well. And so, you know, you can't survive every night getting 4 or 5 innings out of your staff, and you throw in sort of the injury concerns that you have with some of those guys too. It's out there for everyone to see that's what they need to do. But the problem is other teams know that, and so therefore it's not so simple. Everyone says go out, get a top of the rotation guy, as if they grow on trees, and as other teams want to give you those type of players. It doesn't work that way. So I think the chances are better than good that the Yankees do execute that kind of a deal, but it's going to be much closer than to July 31st than it is to June 30th.
Talking to Eric Boland of Newsday on the Yankees, as he's in Chicago. Yankees won today, going away from the White Sox. The other thing, Eric, they have ammunition. I mean, they can overpay if they feel desperate. And the reason I think there's a pretty much 100% chance is because I think they feel desperate. I think they feel like, we're not going to October with these 4 or 5 guys as our starters. We're not. I don't care what it takes. We're not going there that way. That's how I feel about it, and that's why I asked the question, is because I just don't see Brian Cashman, with the number of assets that he has, not overpaying if he has to in this case. He may not want to do it often, but here I think he will.
Yeah, and look, they have the pieces in AAA, AA, Single A. You know, the one thing when you talk to scouts from other teams that have the Yankees in as an organization, that scout them from the Gulf Coast League all the way through AAA, is they talk about the number of young power arms that are in the Yankees system. And so, and Frazier very likely, very possibly, would be part of that deal as well if somebody wants a borderline big league ready player. And you figure he would be included there. But yeah, I mean, there are arms that the Yankees have a lot of hope for, but I don't think that they would pause in parting with them if the right deal came along. And so it's just a matter of who's going to be available and what the asking prices are. And you know, look, you don't know that necessarily right now.
No.
on June 16th, because everyone assumed 2 weeks ago Max Scherzer was going to be available. And then all of a sudden you look at the standings and the Nationals playing a little bit better. And all of a sudden, if you project 5 weeks ahead, if they go on a significant winning streak, Nationals aren't going to be dumping Max Scherzer. So, it could be a pitcher that everyone's talking about right now, such as Madison Bumgarner, or it could be a pitcher that's not on anybody's radar at the moment because a team that's doing better than expected right now suddenly goes into a tailspin or vice versa.
Right, and we don't know who they love, who they covet. I mean, it's going to be, that's why I said it's somebody that they're going to be confident in. Whether they are right or not, we'll not know until the player gets here, but whether the guy is a widely known guy like a Bumgarner or Scherzer or somebody else, it's going to be somebody that Cashman and his staff believe in enough to be an upgrade from the current group that they have right now. So it's interesting. Do you find, or do you believe in your research and you being around, that any minor league Yankee is untouchable?
No. No, I wouldn't say that. I mean, there's some are more touchable than others, certainly. But, I don't think, we all remember a number of years ago before the trade deadline when Cashman talked about his group of untouchables that included Gary Sanchez and Luis Severino and Aaron Judge, and Greg Bird was in that category,
yep,
too. And Cashman was very public about talking about that. There's no one there. I mean, Esteban Floreal is probably somewhat close to that. They've got a couple of pitchers at Trenton that they think a lot of, and Luis Medina, who's a step below those guys, they like him, even though he's off to not a great start, but he still throws high 90s, and a lot of other teams really like him. There's nobody untouchable, Chris.
All right, as you look at this schedule, a lot will be made, 15 of the next 25 against Tampa and Houston. I know 4 with Houston and 11 with Tampa in that group. I really haven't looked at the other 10. They might be decent teams as well. But obviously, a lot will be made out of it. What do you make out of it? Is it hype just because those teams are good teams and have played well? Will it tell you something? Do you think Brian Cashman will be looking at it to see how they match up with the best? Or is it a little overhyped and just part of the general get excited because these are first-place teams?
Well, I think you get excited about it, Chris, just if you're a baseball fan, because there's so many garbage teams in the American League. Yeah. And so when you string a group together in a row, it just jumps out at you because you're so used to seeing trash on a regular basis. So, I think just as a baseball fan, I'm interested to see what happens next week with Tampa coming in followed by Houston. But in terms of it being make or break, that's getting a little bit ahead of ourselves.
Do we have any late news or later news on Severino and Betances and some of the wounded Warriors?
Not really. I mean, Severino potentially could be start throwing off a mound next week. He's been throwing on flat ground. He's been on the last couple of road trips with the Yankees, which he had not been doing earlier in the season, just throwing flat ground sessions in the outfield. He's been out to about 90 feet on those, and it's possible that he gets back on the mound next week, and once he does that, then maybe you'll get some acceleration in his progress, which has been kind of slow to this point. But they still anticipate at some point after the All-Star break that he's back in the fold. And as far as Betances, he's not doing shut down kind of again when he had the most recent setback. So that's suddenly again they think he'll be back at some point in the All-Star break, but his progress has slowed significantly.
You look at this bench being Romine, Shella, and Gardner. Is that pretty much locked in stone in your mind, or is there somebody else knocking on that door?
I think that's probably, I mean, obviously Romine, backup catcher, he's not going anywhere, should he.
No debate there.
And then even though Urshela has kind of cooled down a little bit, rebounded today, had a couple of hits. I think and Gardner, he's not going anywhere either. So, still a good fielding option. You could put him at left or center, and they certainly, potentially could need, a late inning defensive replacement. So, I think barring something unforeseen, that's probably the bench you're looking at.
All right.
Once everybody comes back healthy.
And are you expecting them to experiment a little bit more if it's experimentation? I mean, right now it's need. But last year I thought that they would go with the opener a little more often because it looked very much like this year, like they were going to go in there and have to pitch a CeCe Sabathia in an elimination game in a game 4 against the Red Sox, which they had to do because of the situation that they were in a year ago. If they're not able to make a deal or get something they like, you expect them to go a little bit more often with the closer through August and September this time around?
What do you mean the closer?
Opener is what I meant to say. The relief pitcher opening. The Chad Green opening.
I think you'll see it about as often as you've seen it in the first half of the season.
Okay, no more than that.
I don't think so. I mean, they're 5-0 now. Using that with Green, and he was terrific the other day. And now his last 9 outings, you look at his numbers, I think it's something like 19 strikeouts over 11 and a third innings. And he's really all of a sudden looking like the Chad Green of 2017 and 18 when he was one of the best relievers in the sport. But I don't think you're going to see it any more often than you have so far, which is, 5 times or so. And key to that has been, really the last few of those has been what Nestor Cortes has done following Chad Green. He kind of has gotten lost in the mix somewhat, but he was terrific yesterday, and really that's 3 straight outstanding outings by him. Look, if for some reason they're not able to get a starter before the trade deadline, which again I fully expect that they're going to address that, then maybe you could see it more frequently in the second half, but I doubt it.
And it is fun to watch these surprising players. We've heard a lot about it on The Fan. People call up. They're wondering about, the big guys coming back with their home runs and their strikeouts to go with it. And they're so enamored with how well these fill-in players have played. But you sort of can understand it, can't you? Like Cortes. I mean, who knew? He'd come out there. Talkman plays today, and, he comes through. Romine comes through today. Gardner bounces back. Seems to be somebody different most of the time, and fans really enjoy that.
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, I was when the Yankees have struggled a little bit in the last couple of weeks, obviously, you know, coming in after they lost the second game of the series. I think that was 8 losses in 11 games. So you were hearing it a little bit less what I'm about to say. But when they were on that amazing stretch, which lasted almost 2 months after the 6-9 start to the year, I would get emails and see stuff on Twitter from fans saying, well, you know, maybe this team's not going to be better off when all of the big guns come back. But I think over the course of 162 games, there's always somewhat of a course correction. It doesn't mean that there can't be surprises. Doesn't mean that there can't be guys that turn out to be better than you think that they're going to be. But ultimately, you know, guys that have the resumes on the back of their baseball cards, you're better off with them in there every day than most guys. But it doesn't diminish in any way some of the surprises that have come up for the Yankees this year and are the reason why that they're, you know, all these injuries haven't buried them.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing that it's worked out the way it has. Eric, I'll let you get back to work. A good conversation as always. We appreciate it so much, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Enjoyed it, Chris. Have a great rest of the night, and happy Father's Day.
All right, I appreciate it. Thanks. That's Eric Boland of Newsday, getting us all set to go as the Yanks get set to go back at it tomorrow, as the Yankees are at home, and the Mets play tomorrow as well. So it may be Monday, but both locals will be in action.